That was a blessing, I tell you. All right. If you I thoroughly enjoyed that. I could have sung a trio with you, because we are right at the same level of pitch. Actually, I might be a little higher. So that's kind of like one of the things I'm known for at the Wilds. Probably the only thing I'm known for at the Wilds is my high voice. I go through drive-thrus constantly, and when I go through, the lady on the other end will say, "Will that be all, ma'am?" And I actually went through a drive-thru the other day, and this happens quite often. I mean, about every time I go through, that's what happens. And I went through the drive-thru the other day. I think it was with my family. I don't know, but the lady on the other side said, "Will that be all, sir?" And I was so pumped that they actually thought I was a guy. And I went through a while back through a drive-thru. I know what's going to happen. I went through with Matt Herbster, and some of you are familiar with him. Of course, he's not the nicest guy to me in the world, and he's not here to defend himself. But, of course, he's 6'6", and he's a big guy, and he was in the passenger seat, and I was driving, so I know what's going to happen. So I go through, and I order the food, and the lady on the other end said, "Will that be all, ma'am?" Well, he's curled up in the fetal position laughing at me. Well, that's bad enough, but then I turn around and his 7-year-old is in the back seat in the fetal position laughing at me. It happens all the time. I got all kinds of stories. I called my credit card company a while back, and they said I didn't have all the information I needed, and the lady on the other end said, "Well, hey, why don't you have your husband call back later?" I said, "I am my husband." I even get it from my family. I called my sister a while back, and she has 2 boys, and the one boy was, I don't know, 7 or 8 at the time. I was talking to my sister, and goes, "Hey, you want to talk to Bradley?" I said, "Yeah, put him on the phone." So Bradley came over and got on the phone and said, "Hey, Bradley." He goes, "Grandma!" So I thought that was very good. I really appreciate that voice, so thank you very much for doing that. Keep doing it, and one day your voice will change, maybe. Believe it or not, mine changed. So I've had a great time being here this weekend, and just being able to goof around with many of you, just being able to be with Todd and Al up there and some of the others, just kind of goofing around. I had a part in Al going from the flip phone stage in his life to, where is Al? Is he here? Did you get? Oh, there you. How did I miss you? Did you get your smartphone? He's got a smartphone now, I understand, and I had a part in that, which I'm very happy about. So anyway, I had a great time. I do appreciate the care that this church has taken for me. I have never received a baby chair and a baby blanket. So I would like to invite you, Pastor, down to camp, and we'll take good care of you as well. Well, tonight I was going to deal with something that really has my heart's been warmed to, and I believe it's something. This message is for all of us, myself included, and it really is for all of us, because this message tonight is about dealing with people, and unless you're a hermit somewhere sitting on top of a mountain, you're probably going to be dealing with people. And when we deal with people, it is very important for us to realize, as Christians, to realize the ministry that is there and allow that to be the reason we deal with people. Tonight's message is entitled "The Principles of Compassion." As Christians, as believers, we have got to be people who care about others. And when you want to be good at something, which Christians should be good at dealing with people and helping people. When you want to be good at something, you watch somebody who is a professional at it. Growing up, I had the opportunity to learn a few things. I worked with a guy for many years who laid carpet, and he taught me how to do it. And I was able to watch him lay carpet and learn to do that because he was professional. I worked with a guy who worked on cars, and I had a lot of opportunities to watch him do that and learned because of it. Tonight, the professional people person that we're going to be looking at is Christ. And Christ was obviously somebody who loved people. And tonight, we're just going to look at about seven principles tonight quickly on how to deal with people. If you desire not to be a people person, there's probably occupations out there that you could do. But if you're going to follow Christ and minister to people, which we all should, as Christians, we must minister to people, then we're going to have to get good at dealing with people. And to do that, we step back and we look at how Christ dealt with people when he walked this earth. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight, watching Christ and seeing his principles of compassion. Let me say this. This is probably not exhaustive. There's probably other things that we can draw from Scripture, but tonight we're just going to be looking at seven quickly as we take these, and maybe as we go forth, even tomorrow, and I want to remember these as I go and I get on a plane tomorrow and I head home, and I'm going to be dealing with people out on a plane or that really don't have time for other people, or as I get home and my children and whoever I come into contact with, I've got to know these principles if I'm going to minister effectively to them for the cause of Christ. And tonight we're going to be looking at those, and hopefully we can take these and apply them as we go forward, even tonight. And as we begin, I'd like to ask God to bless our time together. Father, we thank you for just tonight, and Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to think clearly through these principles and take these and apply these to the people we minister to. We need your grace for this, Lord, and we thank you so much that you give it. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 14 for the first principle tonight. Number one, if we're going to deal with people, we have to follow Christ and see what Christ did. And then right now, the first principle we're going to look at tonight is that Christ was able to recognize a need. Christ was able to recognize a need. And we'll be flipping through a different number of passages in the next few minutes that we're together. But first one is Matthew chapter 14. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 says this: when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. In verse 14, and Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. We see this over and over again in Scripture that there were times when Christ wanted to go and needed to be alone, but because of who Christ was, people were following them. And it took somebody who had the desire to understand people to minister effectively. And the first thing we see tonight is that Christ recognized the need. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. That word saw means this. It means to perceive or to consider. It comes from the root word hara'o, which means to stare at or to discern clearly. This is not just a seeing something and let it pass and let it go out of your mind. What that word means is that Christ looked at the people and he stared at them to discern exactly what their need was. Christ recognized the need. Are we to that point where we can recognize needs? How was it that Christ could recognize needs? Because he was not consumed with himself. Christ said himself, "My will, my meat is to do the will of my Father that sent me." That's what Christ was consumed with. And because he was consumed with what God wanted, he was able to not be consumed with himself and recognize the needs of others. It is important for us, if we're going to, first and foremost, if we're going to deal with people and effectively in a ministry capacity to minister to them. And let me say this, I'm not talking about necessarily an occupational full-time Christian service. It's important for us to understand that we are all full-time Christians. We're in full-time ministry because we are all full-time Christians. And wherever we are, whoever we come into contact, there's an opportunity to minister in some way. If we are going to do that, we have to get to the point where we recognize the need. And we do that by not being consumed with ourselves. A number of years ago, of course, at camp, in camp work, you wear a number of different hats. And a number of years ago, there was a need for some of us on program staff to become lifeguards. Believe it or not, I don't like cold weather, and I don't like cold water, so I wasn't terribly excited about becoming a lifeguard in the mountains where there's cold water all around. By the way, are you proud that I'm here tonight? There was much battle in my flesh about 5:30-ish, wondering if I really should come down with something or if I could walk across the parking lot. But I'm here. I overcame. But anyway, I became a lifeguard, and one of the first things that they teach you in lifeguarding is, and this is one of the primary things, is number one, if you're going to be standing out there, you have to get to the point where you recognize the need. Because if you don't recognize the need, something detrimental could happen to somebody. Sometimes it's easier to recognize the need than others. I remember I was out, and shortly after I became a lifeguard, and my ears are all perked up because I'm ready to recognize the need. And I'm out there, and I'm sitting there on one of the docks. And at camp, we have this thing called a water trolley, which is about 20 feet off the ground. You go up and you ride it down, and you drop off in the water. And I was out there lifeguarding. I was watching the water trolley, and all of a sudden, this short little chubby black boy was coming down. He's wearing jeans. Recognize that, and but he's coming down, and I'm thinking, boy, I wonder how that boy's going to do. Well, I recognized the fact that he was wearing jeans, so I knew I needed to watch him. But another sign that he might not be able to do well when he get the water was the fact that as he was coming down, he was screaming, "I can't swim!" Now, my first thought was not, oh, wow, I need to be ready to be prepared to jump in the water and take care of him. My first thought was, well, then why are you riding that? However, the point is this. If I was going to meet a need, then I need to recognize what that need is. And for us as Christians, as we walk through this life, if we are going to minister as we should, because that's one of our roles, then we have to get to the point where we recognize the need. And we see right here, in that one little word where it says, he saw a great multitude, was the fact that he didn't just see that there was a lot of people. He perceived that there was a need. And he was able to recognize that need because he was not consumed with himself. He was consumed with the things of God. If we're going to minister effectively, we need to recognize the need, and to do that, we must be consumed with God and care more about that person. As we progress further, we'll even talk a little bit more about this, but Christ recognized the need, first principle, but second principle, Christ was moved to action by his compassion. Christ was moved to action by his compassion. What we are talking about tonight is the type of compassion that actually moves us to action. It doesn't evaporate in a feeling. We don't look at something and say, oh, you know what, I feel sorry for that. But we look at somebody and say, you know what, there's a need there. And don't think somebody will meet that need one day. We think, okay, what can I do? It's exactly what Christ did. Look again at verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them. And what did he do? He healed their sick. He healed their sick. He met their need. Christ was moved to action by his compassion. Now, the word we see here, as far as this compassion, is a very deep type of compassion. The word splachna is where we get this word from. It's a word that we refer to from the bowels. So it's some kind of something that goes deep down in with somebody to cause them to react in a certain way. And Christ was moved to compassion by these people, by the need that they had. It's being defined as being moved to the very depths of one's being. The definition of compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate that suffering. And that's what Christ did. And this is what we see in Christ. He could not see anyone in need without it moving him to compassion. His compassion always moved him to action. How do we see that? We see that he healed their sick. We see that he took pains to feed them. We see that in Matthew 15, verse 32. Let me say this. This phrase that Christ was moved to compassion, we see all over the Gospels. It's not just right here. It's elsewhere as well. That Christ saw a need and he was moved to compassion. Matthew 15, 32. Then Jesus called his disciples and said unto, I have compassion on the multitude. Same word. Because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Mark 8, 2. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. He met their physical needs, but he didn't just do that. He met their spiritual needs as well. Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitude, okay, we see the exact same thing, that perception, that staring at to discern the need. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So the spiritual need that was being met there right now was being met by prayer. He saw the spiritual need and he met it by teaching. Mark 6, 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. Same word, that word saw means to perceive. He saw much people, here it is again, and was moved with compassion towards them, something that didn't evaporate in a feeling. He was moved with compassion that led him to action because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And what did he do in this Mark 6, 34? And he began to teach them many things. My question for each one of us is, when we see someone in distress or in need, does it leave us moved? Or does it move us to compassion? There are needs all over this place. And sometimes it's not something that you just see on the surface. It takes a more in-depth perception. And if we're going to meet the needs and minister to people in a compassionate way, then we've got to get to the point where we break that surface. And sometimes that takes conversation. Sometimes that takes us just going to somebody and saying, hey, how are you doing? And when I ask you that, I don't want a surface thing. I really mean it. How are you doing? And breaking that surface and getting to that point where we can meet those needs. This is Christ. And Christ was a very busy man. William Barclay said this, there were days when from morning to evening, Christ was surrounded by sick people begging for his help, and he always freely gave it. Is that us? Christ was a professional with people in meeting needs, and we should be as well. Ministry is one of our biggest opportunities. Ministry to people on an individual basis is one of the biggest opportunities we have as Christians. And who is it? Who is it that we're going to be ministering to? It's our children. It's the people we see in a gas station. It's somebody we come into contact with, and many of you work in secular jobs where you have unsafe people all around, or safe people that have needs as well, and we look for their needs, but so often we get caught up, and listen, I'm talking about myself. We get caught up with me, I get caught up with my desires, my wants, and the things that I have to get done, and I forget people. Christ was not willing to do that. Christ recognized the need, and he was moved to compassion by that need. Principle number three, Christ was willing to touch the untouchables. Christ was willing to touch the untouchables. Turn to Mark chapter 1. verses 38 and following. Mark 1:38 says this, "And he said unto him, Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also." So he's obviously meeting a need there. "For therefore I came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Verse 40, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Here's our phrase again. "And Jesus, moved with compassion." Again, that word compassion means not just something that we feel, but it moves us to action. "And Jesus, moved with compassion, he put forth his hand and said, Be healed." Is that what it says? No. It says he put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Christ was willing to touch the untouchables. In this day and age, in the Bible, there was no greater disease, no more feared disease than the disease of leprosy. There were a number of different types of leprosy during that time. There was anesthetic leprosy and a couple other times. And it was a very gruesome, fierce disease. And people were scared of anybody else who had that disease because it was so contagious. And these people were considered untouchable. It's not, when you read about these types of leprosies, this is not a pretty picture here. So you kind of get the sense of, you understand why these people were so feared. You know, one rabbi spoke that as if he saw somebody with leprosy from down the street, he wouldn't walk down that same street. He wouldn't even buy an egg on that same street from a vendor that a leper walked down. They used to take rocks and they would throw them at these lepers. So you can, not only were they battling the fact that they had this disease, but they were battling the fact that they were pushed away in society. And so you see the desperation here in this man. And he comes to Christ, and you can imagine he's standing there and he's in tears and he's saying, he's seen what Christ has done. And he says, Christ, if you will, you can make me clean. And Christ didn't just say, you know, yeah, you can be clean and move on. He was moved with compassion and he reached down and he didn't just say, be clean. He reached down and he touched somebody who nobody else touched. Christ was willing to touch the untouchables. I doubt very seriously if we will come into contact with many lepers in our lifetime. However, there are those who this society considers as untouchable. That they are pushed away. That nobody cares about. If we're going to minister effectively, we've got to get to the point where we are willing to touch the untouchables. And what does that look like for us? Maybe it's somebody who we just don't see eye to eye with. Maybe somebody that annoys us, that you know, it's just not somebody that we can relate to well. No excuses for us. Anybody that we have the opportunity to minister to, we should take that opportunity. We should be willing to touch untouchables. Look what Christ did. He set himself aside and was willing to touch the untouchables. William Barclay, again, he said, love forgets the ugliness because its only desire is to help. And that was for Christ. He forgot everything about the ugliness of that disease and he just wanted to help. Are we willing to do this? Will we choose to love those who we have a hard time loving? If we're going to be like Christ, we have to set all of our thoughts aside and seek to minister to everybody that we come into contact with. If we're going to minister effectively, if we're going to follow these principles of compassion, number one, we have to, like Christ, recognize the need. Not only that, we have, like Christ, be moved to moved to action by that compassion. We have to be willing, number three, to touch the untouchables. And number four, we see that Christ was willing to be interrupted. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. Quickly, Matthew chapter 9. Verse 20. It says this, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him," talking about Christ, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And look what Christ, look what happened. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Christ was willing to be interrupted. Now, we got to take a step back and kind of see the situation that's happening here. Christ was on his way to meet a very important man's daughter. Jairus' daughter was dying. And he had sent for people to get Christ to come back and heal. So Christ was, and Jairus was a centurion. He was a very important man. So Christ was on a very important mission, and as he was heading that direction, he was going through, and the crowd was just all around him. And all of a sudden, a lady who knew, just like the leper, knew that if he could just talk to Christ, she could be healed. And again, she's in a very desperate situation because she was ostracized from society as well. And she knew that if she could just touch his garment, she would be healed. And Christ was on a very important mission. As he was heading in that direction, she touched his garment. And you know what? She would have still been healed. Even if Christ would have just kept on his way. But what did Christ do? He stopped. He turned around. And he talked to her. He was willing to be interrupted. Are we willing to be interrupted to minister to people? How do we view people? Do we view them as interruptions? Or do we view them as opportunities to minister? I remember watching cartoons when I'm a kid, and when I was a kid, I was still a kid. So I love having kids that watch cartoons so I can watch them again. But the cartoons back in my day were a little different than what we see today. And today, cartoons, you have to learn something. But back in my day, you know, I got Woody Woodpecker and stuff like that. And, you know, I was watching one the other day with my kids, and I'm like, oh, this is violent. I can't believe that I watched this. But I didn't turn it off. And I don't know if you remember these. Anybody remember these old cartoons? Hopefully. I'm not the, okay. But sometimes, you know, they would be, you see this one animal chasing this other animal, this is a stupid illustration, but it helps me. But you know, they're chasing this other animal, and all of a sudden they corner it. They put on this napkin, right? And they have this fork and this knife, this very, very long, sharp knife. And all of a sudden, you see above their head, they picture this other animal, whatever it is, like a turkey or something like that. So they have that, and that's all they think about. That is their vision of that creature. Okay, I know it's a stupid illustration, but it does help me. For us, when we see people, what do we see them as? Are they interruptions to and conflicts for us to get to not get done what we need to get done? For Christ, they were opportunities for ministry. For me, my kids come up to me, and I, you know, I've got a task to get done, and sometimes it's very important, and I have to deal with it in a time frame. But do I just shove them aside and say, I got to get this done, we'll deal with this later? Or if it's something serious, do I need to, what should I do? Should I stop and deal with this and minister to this? They can't be interruptions. We've got to be very generous in ministry. We have to be very generous with our time. There are a lot of people who are very generous with money, and they give. But when you try to go and talk to them, they don't have the time of day. But money is not nearly as important as time. And we've got to, if we're going to be like Christ, and we're going to minister to people, we have to be willing to be interrupted like Christ was. Next principle is following from the same passage. Not only was Christ willing to be interrupted, but Christ cared about the individual. When I read this passage, I can't help but feel like the crowd at that moment didn't exist for Christ. In the midst of a crowd, Christ gave all of his attention to one woman Even though Christ was on a very important mission, even though there were hundreds and thousands of people there clamoring for him, Christ gave all of his attention to one woman. The woman, though insignificant to the crowd, was not insignificant to Christ. And nobody can be insignificant to us. One man said, one sign of a really great person is that he is interested in individuals. I remember hearing the story about Kubliark. He was a great violinist, and he was going to be having a concert at a concert hall in London. And there was a young girl who was learning the violin, who Kubliark was her hero. And Kubliark was walking out before the concert, a couple days before the concert, out of this concert hall, and this girl comes running up to him and says, "Do you have any more tickets?" And he told her, "No, I'm sorry. There are no more tickets for the concert." He said that there's not even a room for a field mouse in the concert hall. And in tears, this young girl said, "Well, how am I going to hear your concert? I will never be able to hear." And he said, "Oh, but you will." He pulled up a chair. He sat the girl down right there in that lobby, and he proceeded to play his entire concert for one person. A very important person doing something huge for one person. Are we willing to care about individuals? Do we take time for people? Do we listen to people? Do we make people feel like they are important? Or is this how we are? My wife is good at a lot of things, but one thing she is very good at, puts me to shame and rebukes me, is her attention to people. When you talk to my wife, and I can say all this because she's not here, she's not going to tell me to not say it, but when you talk to my wife, her attention is on you, and she asks questions that are ministry-related to find out how you are. It's a rebuke to me. Christ gave all of his attention to one individual. If we are going to walk through this life and take the ministry opportunities we have, then if we are going to have principles of compassion, then we have to care about the individual. Not only that, next principle, Christ was approachable. We see this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, the picture of Christ taking a child or telling a child to come to him. This says something, right? When there is a child who an adult comes to him and says, "Hey, come to me," and the child comes right away and doesn't run from them, that says something. That he was approachable. He was not somebody that blew people out of the water. People were willing to talk to him. And if we are going to be like Christ, then we need to be approachable. We need to be to the point where we realize that people realize that they can trust us with issues. And if they bring an issue to us, that we're not going to just condemn them or blow them out of the water. We're going to give them the truth of God with the love of God, so their lives can be changed for the glory of God. We have to be approachable. Christ was. I love this one passage in Matthew chapter 11 when he talks about Christ. It says this about Jesus Christ. It says, "A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench." Of course, a reed is something that is very, very fragile. And Christ was of the temperament of that if he saw people that were like these bruised reeds, that, you know, it's very easy to go to a bruised reed and just kind of snap it off and throw it aside and not even care. Or a smoking flax, that has the picture of a candle that's having a hard time staying lit. When Christ saw people who were like bruised reeds or smoking flaxes, he didn't just cast them down. He nurtured them till they were useful again. That's how Christ was. Matthew chapter 12 talks about Christ. It said, "He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Are we like Christ in this? Are we approachable or are we harsh? Anybody that you come into contact with should know that they can trust you with their greatest needs if we're going to minister effectively. We will have battered reeds and smoldering wicks that we come into contact with all through our life. How are we going to deal with them? Are we going to stop and take time for them? Are we going to care about the individual? Are we going to blow them out of the water? Are we going to nurture them back to health spiritually? Christ showed compassion in so many different ways. And another way that Christ showed compassion was by confrontation. We see Christ confronting people all throughout his ministry. He confronted the hypocrites. He confronted people with wrong motives. He corrected his mother. He rebuked his disciples. He corrected his disciples from bickering. He used the child. He corrected Peter and John. He always did this in a loving way, but let me say this, he didn't not do it. Sometimes people think compassion means that you don't confront. Often, the most loving thing you can do is confront. Now it is a confrontation with compassion. And that's who Christ was. One man said, in a day when the cult of niceness has permeated the church, and politeness and tolerance has taken a front seat to truth and the fear of God, we need to be reminded that the Savior of the world often corrected the errors of his enemies in confrontation. And he corrected those who were followers of him in confrontation, but he did it in a loving way. Compassion doesn't mean that we don't confront. Sometimes the most loving thing that we can do is confrontation. And Christ did this. And lastly, if we're going to be able to effectively minister to people, if we're going to have these principles of compassion, the last thing is the fact that Christ sacrificed. Are we willing to do the same? Christ showed his compassion by his willingness to die on a cross. Do you ever stop and dwell on the cross and what Christ did? We had the opportunity this weekend with the teens just to kind of dwell on that. I want to challenge you sometime to just stop and just meditate on what Christ did for you on the cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Romans 5:8-10, but God commendeth or showeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Christ sacrificed, even when men hated him. John MacArthur said, even when men openly hate God and do not have the least desire to give up their sin, they are still objects of God's redeeming love. We have a perfect example of Christ's sacrificial love. Teens, you remember this? Ephesians 5:1-2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. That's a command. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ showed the whole world compassion in just one act when he died on the cross. His death, burial, and resurrection was a sign of his compassion. He sacrificed. Now it might not be that we ever will sacrifice our lives for people, but we should be willing to sacrifice whatever else for ministry. What do we sacrifice? Our time? Yeah, our money. Many other things. As we minister to people, are we going to minister effectively? Are we just going to follow some little book or plan, or are we going to follow what Christ did? And Christ saw the need. He was moved to compassion by that need. He was willing to touch the untouchables. He was willing to care for the individual. He sacrificed. He confronted. People were willing to approach him, and these are the characteristics that each one of us should have in our lives if we are going to minister effectively for the cause of Christ. I hope this is encouraging for us. I hope this motivates us as we go out tomorrow and we come into contact with people all over the place. Teens, when you go back to school, there are hurting teens out there. You know that. Are you going to recognize that need, or are you going to just brush right by? Be moved to action, guys, because there's people with spiritual needs. Those of us who minister more, and we talk a lot with adults on in this world, or whatever our job, wherever our job takes us, are we going to use these principles and minister effectively to people? If we're going to do it for the cause of Christ, we've got to follow Christ's example. Are we willing to do that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for not just giving us instruction by principles and precepts, but Lord, by giving us instruction from your example. Lord, help us to follow that closely. In your name we pray.
Thank you, Willie. We appreciate that. Let's sing to the Lord a prayer. It's number 560 in your hymn book.